Karen Pine, and we'll be talking about money. Oh my goodness me, this is a great book because it's called Shikonomists. Add power to your purse with the ultimate money makeover. And it's by Karen Pine and Simon Ganesan. And, well, giving us a great opportunity to make sure we know how to use our money. And as women, are we meant to be quite good with it? Let's just check with Karen. Do you think we are quite good with money, Karen?
Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, absolutely. I think we can be really good with money. I think many women manage the household budgets and they manage the kids' pocket money and make all sorts of decisions about money every day, of course. But some of them have been telling us they're not so good about planning for the future.
Yes.
Sometimes they spend for all the wrong reasons, emotional reasons, and because they're stressed or bored or depressed, rather than because they need something. And a lot of them also tell us they feel a bit frightened of money or a bit ashamed of the way that they're handling it, and they really need to get a grip.
Oh, you're saying my story.
Oh, is this you? Oh,
this is me. Now, Simone Ganesan, you're a financial coach, and I don't know I need a coach so much as several trains full of people like you. I think it is one of those things that I think, quite rightly, Karen has said, we can be embarrassed about. And in getting together this particular book, do you think one of the reasons you did it is because you were quite surprised how women who were quite sort of, you know, sassy in many areas were absolutely rubbish with their money?
Yeah, I mean, I think most finance books assume that we have functional relationships with money. And the truth is we don't. A lot of us don't. So we've written a book that takes that into consideration. We look at why we have the spending habits we have, or we can't face the financial future, or that we're intimidated by the financial world. We look at why, and we give you some exercises and ways of handling that.
Karen, one of the things that I was thinking when I knew I was going to be speaking to you is I can remember way, way back when I first got my you know, first account with a bank. I was ushered in to meet the bank manager and sat down and had a chat with, you know, what did I want out of an account and blah, blah, blah. Now, the reality of life now is you, A, never have a bank manager. B, you're often just talking on a phone or maybe online. And do you think that has gone towards women starting to be a bit, well, actually, I'm not making any contact with anybody?
Yes, but also that first experience that you described, it's a bit like going to the headmaster, wasn't it?
Yes.
You know, a bit intimidating.
Absolutely.
And you'd be surprised, loads of women are still banking with the same bank that they set up that account with when they left school, or, you know, when they left university, and they've never even changed banks because they're actually frightened of making contact with them. So although they've, you know, it's not so personal now, many women never even established a good personal relationship with their bank managers because they found them quite terrifying and intimidating. So I think we need to get over that. I think women need to be not afraid to shop around and to say, I'm the customer, I'm going to get the best deal that I can, and if I don't like the bank that I'm dealing with, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Do you know, Karen, how I've wanted to flounce out going, I shall take my overdraft elsewhere. But the reality is, I don't think I can. Can I?
You can. I mean, there, you can even transfer overdrafts onto 0% credit cards.
Can you?
Yeah, there are some on the market now that you can do that.
Who needs a bank?
You so you could transfer over an overdraft and start a clean slate with a fresh budget and plans to not go into the red.
And if you've got money coming in, if you've got money coming in every month, another bank would let you open an account. You could go anywhere and take your money.
And even with an overdraft, you can do that.
That's fantastic. Actually, those words may come out of my mouth then up to now. When you were getting the book together, were there some things that you thought, oh, I don't want to put that, it's too basic, but you're glad you did for people like me?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because a lot of us are frightened to admit when everyone's talking about ISAs, actually, you know, what is an ISA? Oh, it's so embarrassing, isn't
it?
Yeah,
let alone. What does it stand for?
Go on, Simon.
Individual savings account.
Right,
there's a glossary at the back of the book for any of those kind of bits of jargon, because we're very aware that the financial world can be intimidating.
Are you worried about those sort of brickbats thrown at you saying, you know, this is just for women, for goodness sakes, you are treating them like dumbos?
No, we've written the book in a style to appeal to women. And we're talking about some women's spending habits. We're not saying that all women are like that, but we've written it in more of that kind of style. But all the facts and information apply just as much to men too.
Good.
And there are women in the book who are great. They've really been financially savvy. They've really been running the businesses, etc. But they might still have some fears or some issues around money that they feel they'd like to resolve. And we give lots of different case studies and stories so that other women who read the book can think, oh, well, hey, that's like me, and it's not so bad after all. I'm not alone.
Fantastic. I'm joined this afternoon by Karen Pine and Simone Ganesan, and we are talking about money. I can't say it now. So how am I meant to make sure that I know what I'm doing with my money? And it's, of course, adding power to your purse with the ultimate money makeover. We'll have some music. But it's a great opportunity if you want to ask any questions. These ladies are in the know. 0845 3030 961. Your purse with the ultimate money makeover, and I'm joined by the authors Karen Pine and Simone Ganesan. They join me right now. When you were chatting with your friends that you were going to be doing this particular book, was that one of the ways that, you know, friends know you, they don't feel embarrassed, but that made you realise how basic our knowledge is quite often, Simone, you know, on what to do with the right account and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I deal with clients all the time, and they're very open and honest with me about what they do and don't know, and I explain things to them in language that they can understand so that they don't feel intimidated. But yeah, I mean, lots of people, when it's a subject we're not taught, you know, we all go around kind of having people have this expectation that everyone else knows, seems to know about the money world apart from them, and some people feel very very alone in that.
And also, money can be frightening if you've got too much or too little. Either way, sometimes you don't feel in control, it controls you.
Absolutely, it has nothing to do with what you're, exactly. How much or how little you have, necessarily.
Karen, as a researcher in developmental psychology, do you think, I mean, we were talking earlier about how men are often defined by the type of work they do. Do you think for women, the amount of money they earn is still very important as regards how they see themselves in society?
I think the amount of money is important, but I think a bigger pressure that's on women is this message of, you know, how you look and your appearance and what you've got, and this whole message that because you're worth it, you know, that we get this sort of false sense of entitlement, that we're entitled to all these things that the media want to convince us we should have, the must-have handbag or the it bag, or, you know, this message that we are what we have or we are what we wear. I think that's quite a dangerous one.
I agree with you.
So much about that.
It is a lot. Some comments coming in. Colin from Muddiford's called in to say, with people having an average debt of £25,000, this is without a mortgage, I hasten to say, surely the first piece of advice should be, don't borrow more than you can afford. Oh, how we would all love to be like that. You're right, Colin, but unfortunately, sadly, it doesn't often happen. For example, I retrain, so I've still got a student debt. So, I mean, lots of people are in that same position, whether they're 18 or whether they were like me at 40. And that is, unfortunately, a sign of the times, isn't it?
Very much so, yes. I mean, Easy Credit's been with us for quite a while now, hasn't it? It's been very easy to borrow money. And I think, yeah, there aren't many people who haven't got debt. But we should still be prioritising paying off debt. So your listener, you know, did have a good point to make, that we shouldn't be living with debt as if it was a fact of life. And many people think it is nowadays.
Absolutely. When you were doing the research for the book, what was the thing that people were most worried about? Was it the type of bank account? Was it providing for the future, things like pensions? What did it turn out to be?
It turned to be very much, I'm living for today. I'm getting through the month. Mm. That's good. But I just don't know what I'm going to live on when I'm older.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially women who've had to have career breaks, or they perhaps work part-time, or they want flexible working hours because of the children. They're not building up the pension pot that the men have got. They're going to live longer, and we're probably going to live on our own when we're older, because we're going to outlive our men. And many women would say, I'm fine, but actually I'm terrified about the future, and I'm frightened of facing it. So.
And what about thinking of property as being your pension? Because, I mean, let's be honest, with the recession as it is now, we're officially in it, apparently. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people do think, well, at least I've got the house, I can sell that.
But remember that you need a home to live in all the way through your life. So unless you've got a very... You have a property that you're going to downgrade when you retire and release some money out of that, and with that money invest it to generate an income, it's not really that much good to you if it's all tied up in your property.
Absolutely.
But as women, we do like tangible assets, so property fits the bill in that respect.
Absolutely. Charles has come through from Cowes. Now, he says he's pleased women are being encouraged to take financial control, because he knows several older women who won't switch anything, such as energy suppliers, which would save them money, because they feel vulnerable as females doing this. So instead, they just carry on spending more than they need to, not understanding their money. Charles, that's a very good point. Do you think it is the understanding their money which is the key thing?
I think it is. I think... There are a lot more women than men that would admit to, and perhaps this is the point, admitting to it, but admitting to not understanding.
And perhaps
money.
Over the years they have left it to the men in their lives.
Yes.
You know, if your listener was referring to older women, we've come across older women whose perhaps their husbands have died and they don't know where the paperwork's kept.
Exactly.
The finances.
They've never written a check.
Written a check. But, I mean, that's still quite common nowadays. So it's lovely leaving it to your husband when he's around and he's doing it all for you. But, you know, what are you going to do if he's not around? So women do need to take a bit of control themselves. And that's the message that we give in the book, really.
So for those people listening who at this moment say to themselves, goodness, this is just exactly what I'm looking for, and they've got so many areas, should they start looking at perhaps changing their mortgage, changing their bank account? Because when it's too big, often there's too much. Quickly, what should we do?
Well, I mean, in the book, we take people on a bit of a journey through the chapters of controlling their money mind, which is a very strong part of taking control. actually being in control of your emotions too around spending.
So perhaps facing one of those fears, if it is about changing your bank account, then go and do that, and then that feeling of control might spur you on to do better things.
Back in control. Excellent, ladies. Thank you so much. Karen Pine and Simone Ganesan. Shh, Sheikonomics. Oh, I'll get it right in a minute.